Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies and huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It is 12:34 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer at the 630 CHED Studios, the city's south side in the Chorus Building. Oilers had an off day yesterday. Went to the Oil Kings game. And they're pretty good. Winnipeg must be real good. Winnipeg's 21-1. Now, I think last year the Edmonton Oil Kings went 22-1. The only team to beat Winnipeg this year in regulation are the Edmonton Oil Kings, and they did that before they had Jake Neighbors, their captain, back. Oh, and before they had another defenseman. We'll talk to Jake coming up at 1:35. Alan Watt, the interim COO of the Edmonton Elks at 1:05 today. So I know we've got a couple texts coming our way on that front and a ton of texts on whether or not the Oilers are for real. We'll tell you that guests on this show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. 9990 Jasper Avenue. It's where John Shannon comes to town. When he comes to town, that's where he goes. He is our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. He's going to hop aboard ISDN2. We welcome back to the show, John Shannon. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great, Bob. How are you? You must be relieved, though, today.
Well, after Saturday against Auburn?
Now, truth be told, so I have a nice little viewing area in my house to watch multiple sports. But I'll tell you what, if I had only had one TV, I wasn't changing from the Alabama-Auburn football game.
Well,
it was unbelievable.
Cam Moon may have spent part of the first period calling that game alone. That's all I'm going to say. We had the
don't say that out loud.
Oh,
they'll
no,
dock
I'm,
your pay. They'll dock your pay.
I'm having some fun with you. It was pretty amazing. And for the listeners that are unaware, Alabama went into that game ranked number 3 in the country, but they're 11-10-1 in the season. It's a traditional matchup. Bo Jackson played at Auburn, and Alabama's got a great program. As everybody knows, they've won 6 of the last 12 national championships. They got stopped on a 4th-and-2 with about 2.5 minutes left in the game, and somehow got the ball back without timeouts with about 1:30 left in the game on their own 2.
Yeah.
And marched at 90, or on their own 3, and marched at 97 yards for a touchdown, and then they won in the 2-point shootout, shootout in overtime. So it was a thrilling victory. I know there's CFL fans out there, I know there's NFL fans out there, but that was tremendous theater, was it not, John?
Oh, it was spectacular. It was spectacular. It was almost as good as the Stampeder Rider game yesterday.
Which I did not watch because I was at the Oil Kings game. All right.
Yeah, that was a good game, too.
Good game, too. Let's get to it. The Edmonton Oilers, 15-5, the second best winning percentage in the National Hockey League. We're now past U.S. Thanksgiving. There's been a lot of years, John, where the Oilers have been 6-12-2 at this time through 20 games. They're 15-5. Are they for real? Or are they a legit contender, in your opinion?
It's funny. I certainly think they're legit now, and really in many ways, probably because of their play in the last 10 games than in the first 10 games. And here's why. You know, the team got off to such a great start, and as quickly as it can happen, it can swoon and go away. For them to go, Kenny Holland does their whole schedule based on 10-game increments. And so at 9-1 after the first 10-game increment, he knew that it was going to be more difficult the second time around. And he said, if we are legit, if we go 6-4. Well, they went 6-4. And I think that was a real indication of how deep this team is, how resilient this team is, and the invention of a couple of guys along the way, like Skinner, like Broberg. I mean, I could not imagine having Broberg on the ice in the last minute and a half in Vegas, and that's exactly what what Dave had him on the ice for. So there are some real positives with this hockey club.
Yeah, part of it, and I know there's a panel coming up later today with Jack and myself and Tony Brar that'll be on EdmontonOilers.com. We talked a lot about the internal solutions that have arisen here. I mean, if I had told the fans, you know what? I mean, just imagine this, John, if you could. Three games into the season, the Oilers get off to a good start. They're 3-0, and I said, well, they're going to be 15-5 at the 20-game mark, and Mike Smith isn't going to play any of the next 17 games. People would have said, oh, and by the way, Darnell Nurse is going to get hurt, and so is Duncan Keith. People would have said, no way, right? No way.
They would have said no way.
No way.
Yep.
So they've got, by my count, 12 games before Christmas. 11 games before Christmas. And they got a tough home. So they get Pittsburgh on Wednesday night, then they go to Seattle. On the next homestand, they get L.A., not bad. Minnesota, really good team in the Central. Boston, always competitive. Carolina, the best record in the NHL. Toronto, the best record in the NHL over the last 16 games, and then Columbus. It's not going to be an easy stretch, but what has surprised you? Has the organic solution surprised you the most? Give me your thoughts. Koskinen?
At the top of my list, Evan Bouchard. Evan Bouchard is at the top of my list.
Okay.
And simply because he's doing everything that I think people expected and more. I mean, look at that pass on Saturday night to set up one of the goals. That's not an easy pass to make. You know, he's been. You know, we always talked about how good a shot he had. He has a heavy shot. It really goes through. It makes a difference, and you know, goalies feel it. I think he lived on that for a while, but now we're seeing a complete game. You know, and that those first 15 games he played with Darnell got him introduced to a number one pairing minutes, and I think it's carried on. And I think. You know, I don't hear people saying, well, we sure miss Ethan Bear. I don't hear people saying we miss Adam Larson. I think Bouchard has really picked up the slack and been, he's so good. You forget how young he is. You forget how inexperienced at the pro level he is. And I think he's just done a marvelous job.
V has texted the show to say, Bob, CeCe is, because I brought up CeCe and I said it, the drop-off from him and Larson hasn't been as precipitous as some thought. And V says CeCe is better than Larson. I'll say it. He's not as tough, but he's a way better skater and better at the puck. CeCe has been the unsung hero in the back end so far. I'd agree that he's been the unsung hero. And I got to tell you, John, frankly for me, and there were some nervous fans in the preseason, the first couple games. I think he's been Edmonton's steadiest defenseman. Like, you know, Bouchard's had some great offensive moments. He has turned the puck over under pressure. Everybody does.
Sure.
But it happens. And Barry and Bouchard have flopped between first and third pairings. But CeCe's been, there's a guy that just goes and he's reasonably priced. He's not physical like Edmondson is in Montreal. We'll get to Montreal in a second.
Well, he's not that big, so.
But he's smart and he reads the play well.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
He needed when Cody, when he came out of junior and ended up going to the Senators, lots of pressure playing in the same town where he played junior. When he went to Toronto, lots of pressure in Toronto. He went to Pittsburgh and learned the craft, you know. And I got to give the coaching staff in Pittsburgh a ton of credit. I think when CeCe signed in Edmonton, people were going, oh no, not Cody CeCe. People in Ottawa and Toronto laughed at it because they remember the CeCe they had for their teams. But Cody CeCe turned a page in Pittsburgh and became a much more conservative player. Still using his offensive skills. Does he make mistakes every once in a while? Sure he does. But I'll tell you what, he's been impressive, and I financially has been a great buy for the Oilers and done a very good job. I mean, when you look at the amount of money they're spending on the blue line, he might be he might be dollar for dollar the best money they spend.
All right, so the Oilers had Barry and CeCe in Toronto, and Edmonton was criticized a lot by the, and we'll refer to them as the Eastern media. We'll pay homage to Ralph Klein there for a second. He used a different term to describe Easterners, if I recall. I go back to Larry Murphy. Like, Larry Murphy played, and a lot of people compare Bouchard to Larry Murphy, who, by the way, played 1,600 games in the NHL and had 1,200 points and played five seasons for Detroit after the Leafs fans in Toronto thought he was washed up and finished. Like, John, I got to ask you this.
And is in the Hockey Hall of Fame, Bob.
Yes, in the Hockey Hall of Fame. What is it with Toronto? Like, because they know so much about winning there, right? Like, because the last time they won a playoff series, Austin Matthews was six. The last time they won a Stanley Cup, I was one. The majority of the media in Toronto never saw the league. Like, it's like, well, they can't play here. They're no good anyway. Players bounce back all. Isn't there a lesson in that? Like, wouldn't they look at the Larry Murphy situation?
No question. And the one thing I would say, in every city, you know, every player on the Oilers is either 20% better or 20% worse than he truly is from a fan's perspective. Either he's really good, he's not that good, or he's really bad, he's not that bad. Well, in Toronto, I think it's 30 to 35%.
Bingo.
I think the exaggeration of how good a player is in Toronto might be... I might put Vancouver close, but I would put Toronto at the top of the list. They're not a critical fan base. They really aren't. But what they do is they bail on you quickly. If they don't like what they see, they bail on you quickly. They bailed on Tyson Barrie after wanting Tyson Barrie badly. You know, they did the same thing. Cody Ceci coming here was a little different. But at the same time, this is a tough market. I mean, look what happened this season already. They bailed on Nick Ritchie. Now, all of a sudden, they put Nick Ritchie in the right spot with Kampf and Kasha. And he's playing pretty well as the third or fourth line, depending on what day.
They got a good team. So, they're 14-2 in their last 16 games. They got a good hockey club there.
Well, they have the same thing going for them, I think, that the Oilers have going for them now, and that's they finally are deep.
Yeah.
In Edmonton, there was a reliance on two, maybe three guys. In Toronto, it might have been five. And now, you know, the bottom six are contributing, as the case is in Edmonton, and there is more than two defensemen to rely on. So from that perspective, there are mirror images between Toronto and Edmonton when it comes to how the teams have been constructed and how the teams are playing.
Yeah. All right, let's switch focus here. Jeff Molson, I'll be honest, I didn't see the press conference today. I was running around doing some things this morning over at the building. This team was in the Stanley Cup last year.
Fool's gold, Bob. Okay. Fool's gold.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the Canadian division, you know, this was, and you can talk to all four of the teams in the Canadian division, actually the three other Canadian division teams that lost out, Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Toronto, and say, we missed our chance. We had our chance. This was the path of least resistance to the Stanley Cup final. And the Canadians took advantage of it with Shea Weber and Carey Price and that big four defense that really played well and got some great energizing play out of young guys like Suzuki and Caulfield. So they peaked at the right place at the right time for 9 weeks. That's what they did. But now, you know what? It's funny. I was listening today and talking today. Lots of pressure on Jeff Petrie because he's not a complete player anymore. Well, you know, people in Edmonton could understand that. But Jeff's been elevated to be the number one defenseman in Montreal this year, not the number three or four guy. And so it's a little different situation. No Weber, no Price.
Those are massive losses.
Those are massive losses. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Are you?
So we're going to see what's happened. We're going to see what happened. Jeff Gordon's coming in as basically the president of hockey operations. They don't like to give titles out like that in Montreal, but he's coming in as the hockey boss, and he's going to hire a general manager, and the general manager is going to be bilingual, and so that general manager will be the the mouthpiece for the organization in both languages, and we'll see what happens.
By the way, you know, everybody talks about the Canadian division right now. If you look based on winning percentage, the three of the top seven teams in the NHL are Edmonton at 750, the Maple Leafs at 717, and the Flames at 690. And the Flames are going to be a tough out because they can defend.
Actually, let me guess. I haven't looked at the standings today. I would think the fourth team might be Washington. Washington, boy, have they become a good team. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, no, they're a big, heavy. They're right there with Edmonton with a 750 winning percentage. So Carolina's at 775. So Washington and Edmonton tied for second at 750.
Yeah, but Washington beat Carolina decisively, in my opinion, yesterday.
By the way, Winnipeg's had a tough week. Like, they played great in those two games. Paul Maurice said it was the best two games his team's played all season. And then since then, they got the win against Calgary the other night. But they had dropped, I think, three or four consecutive games before that. They've dropped to 15.
Four.
Yeah.
Four.
So, all right. So, Montreal, I mean, I just found it like suddenly Mellenby's not in the option. The next day, Bergevin's fired. They fired Trevor Timmons. Okay, they had, I just want to say this, from a traveling media member's perspective, Dom, how do you pronounce his name? Salant? Salant, the former PR guy for the Canadiens?
Salant, yeah.
Salant.
I know, Dom. Yeah.
I thought
he was dismissed. He was dismissed.
I thought he might have been one of the top three guys in the league. He's with Hockey Canada. I thought he was excellent whenever we went in, and he'd worked for the Canadiens for years. So he got let go about a year and a half ago or whatever. And so they also got rid of their PR guy, their new guy. Didn't that strike you as, like, that's, I was a little caught off guard by that. And it just kind of made me wonder, like, what's, you know, you got your ears plugged to the ground on this sort of stuff. What's going on there, John?
Well, I think, you know, within Jeff Molson's world, because Jeff Molson's world is bigger than Canadiens Hockey Club. There was a lot of distrust within the organization. And I think that there was a real feeling that they needed to make a paradigm shift. And this is, I think this came, I think in the last 2 weeks, Jeff decided that.
Okay.
And therefore, you know, in the last, you know, 9 or 10 days, he started to talk to Jeff Gorton about coming in. But he had to do it in such a manner that there was still a position for a Francophone senior hockey operations person, i.e. the general manager, to be front and center. So that's why Gorton got the executive vice president of hockey operations job as opposed to GM. And if you didn't like in the end what Bergevin was doing, then you didn't like what Scott Mellenby was doing, because they were joined at the hip, as you well know. Trevor Timmons was, you know, a scouting guru for this organization for, I think, 20 years, close to 20 years. Again, a guy that had tied his wagon to Marc Bergevin.
Yep.
And at a certain point, I think you could see it as the season wore on, even though we're only 2 months in, is that you could see it wear on Bergevin from the point of view of accessibility. And make no mistake about it, the first mistake they made this calendar year, this hockey calendar year, was the draft.
Yes.
When they took Logan Mailloux, they made a terrible mistake. They didn't understand it. They did not understand the ramifications of that draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
And it went downhill from there. It, you know, the Weber opting out for the year because of injury, Carey Price going into the program.
It just spiraled.
It's just spiraled.
I don't even like the Suzuki.
And on top of that, they go and give Nick Suzuki a lot of money for 7 or 8 years. I mean,
that's the Clayton Keller deal, man. I'm sorry, that's too much money for that guy at that point. And it's the Clayton Keller thing, and Keller had the one really good year in Arizona. He hasn't come close to matching it since, and so it's tricky stuff. All right, tonight, one final one for you. John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. It's 12:53 in Edmonton. Tonight, Vancouver plays Montreal. Okay, second of a back.
Yeah, I know.
And, people out in Vancouver got to be going, all right, so boom, the Canadiens blow, you know. I mean, they fired the PR guy after they just fired the PR guy, and they fired the GM. Mellenby quits. They fired the head director of scouting. When's the shoe going to drop? And I'll be the first, John. I thought Vancouver was going to compete for the 3-4 spot in the Pacific Division. I knew Calgary was going to be way better. No way Markstrom was going to go 904 again, not with Sutter as coach. But I thought Vancouver was going to be in the mix, too. I can't believe they're in the position they're in. But now I'm at the stage, well, they're in the position they're in. Something's got to give. Is something going to give there?
I think they play Montreal tonight and then play Ottawa. To me, these two games are the litmus test. This was a tough road trip. It was a five-game road trip, including in Pittsburgh and in Boston. I thought they seem to play well for 56 minutes and then have a couple of brain cramps. That seems to be the story of this season for the Canucks. If you look at the offseason, Bob, and after they signed Pettersson and Hughes to their extensions, you would have said that Jim Benning had a great summer. You know, there was turnover on the roster. They got rid of some contracts. Oliver Ekman-Larsson was coming to a hockey market. There was lots of positive things. Travis Green got signed to an extension. There were so many positives. To me, this is on the players. It's not as much on Jim Benning. It's not as much on Travis Green. This is on the players. You know, where's Bo Horvat? How is he playing? JT Miller can talk a lot. How is he playing? Pettersson has not played well since he signed. Hughes is not happy. I mean, there's six or seven guys on this team that are underachieving completely. And you fire two guys that are off the ice that aren't going to help you score goals or aren't going to help you keep the puck out of your net. To me, it doesn't make much sense. It really doesn't at this point.
John, much appreciated. I'll give Pettersson a little bit of a break. He's coming off a wrist surgery. That is always, you know, I'm always concerned, and the Oilers have Holloway. Where is a guy going to be at with that, you know, with that feel and that touch in his game, especially in the case of Pettersson? I mean, he's
So now, with him being injured, are you giving everybody a little bit of a blank check then? You know what I mean,
fair comment. Fair comment by you. Good stuff. Let's do this on Wednesday, okay?
Whatever you want.
All right, that's John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. 12:55, I'm going to bang off a couple texts and talk to you about an upcoming trip on Oilers Now when we return.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It's 12:57 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. Oilers fans, if you're looking for a great road trip, you can join New West Travel. It's a four-night roadie to Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Nash, Vegas. You'll get a chance to see the Oilers and the Predators. This package includes an exclusive nonstop flight each way with Flair Airlines. Four nights in a deluxe hotel, a great game ticket. We'll have welcome receptions when we're there with special guests all for $1,750. Join the Nashville road trip. Call New West Travel 780-432-7446 or online at newwesttravel.com. I know I'm going to see some of the Oilers Now roadies coming up Friday in Seattle. It's going to be a kicker. No question about that. Red has texted the show. No, not the Red out of Green Bay, who many of you have probably met over the years. Red Batty, who used to work in the Canadian Football League and has worked with the Green Bay Packers, is a hockey fan. Not only, says Red, are the Oilers for real, they haven't even played that well yet, and add two or three depth guys, and this team is formidable. Well, Edmonton's also played without Devin Shore, and I know Devin Shore isn't everybody's cup of tea, but he's a bottom six guy in this hockey team, and a consistent bottom sixer at that, that the Oilers have unequivocally missed a little bit. So, Oilers just tweeting out right now an injury update. Duncan Keith, Darnell Nurse, Devin Shore, Mike Smith, and Dylan Holloway all skated before the main group today. Adds that Nurse and Keith are the closest to returning, while Smith continues to make progress, including facing pucks today. It's a tweet that came out from the Oilers about a minute ago. Off to a global news weather traffic update, and we're going to divert away from the hockey talk and talk a bit about the Edmonton Elks organization with a guy who's worked for both the, he's worked for the Eskimos, then the Oilers, and now the Elks. He is their interim COO, Alan Watt, coming up after a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.